Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chris.
We're rolling.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob late night talk show. Mama's all right.
And Daddy's all right.
But they just seem a little weird.
Just a little weird. And we're talking now to the man who is the son of the man who penned those immortal lines, Aaron Nielsen. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oxford, Ohio.
Sunny, romantic Oxford, Ohio. What do you do up there in Oxford, Ohio?
Well, I attempt to go to school and play golf here, and that's about it.
What are you studying?
Marketing.
Marketing of what?
It's a good question. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Well, do you have any aspirations to market?
Sure.
What, plastics or groceries or something?
Yeah, hopefully. I dare to dream pretty big, and, well, groceries could be my life.
You think?
It could be.
Well, what's the business that your family is in?
Well, my family's probably in the entertainment business. My father plays guitar.
Your father's a guitar player?
Yes, he is.
Who's he play for?
He plays for Cheap Trick.
You mean your dad is the guitar player in Cheap Trick?
Yeah, no lie.
You mean your dad's got the world's largest guitar collection?
So they say.
Tell us a little bit about what it's like to be the kid of a rock and roll dad. Like, my dad, he's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
My dad works in a factory.
Uh-huh.
Our dads didn't let us listen to rock and roll when we were kids.
Yeah.
They,
well,
you know, turn on sports radio.
Right. Well, I don't know. It has got up and down. It's for the most part, it's pretty exciting. I mean, I think people kind of have a tendency to glamorize what he does. I mean, to me, it's always been how it is, and people always ask me, it must be so great, it must be so this. But, I mean, certain aspects are great. You know, I get to meet, you know, some famous people. I get to, sometimes he'll be playing in Six Flags Great America or someplace, and we'll get to go to the front of the lines after he's done playing, or, you know, some special treatment in certain places. But, other than that, I mean, it's always just been, I mean, ever since I've been growing up, I just know him as his dad, not some, you know, I don't look at him. I mean, I yell at him, and he makes me take out the garbage, so it's not like...
Somebody's got to do it.
It's like,
you know,
I remember some girl I remember in sixth grade asked me if my dad lived in my house, and I told her that he lived in the castle out back, and my family was stuck in the little shed down the hill. They thought it was so cool that he was in a band, and he was too cool to live in my house.
Well, your dad has this wacky kind of childlike image, you know, of wearing the sweaters and the baseball hats with
right.
the turned-up bill and always grinning and flipping guitar picks. He just seems like a happy-go-lucky, carefree kind of guy on stage. Is that his persona off stage?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably because he gets to do what he enjoys to do. I mean, I think it's like maybe a professional athlete or somewhere like that where for a living they're lucky enough to make a decent living doing something they really enjoy, and I think that he kind of looks at it that way. I think, you know, sure, it's got its up and down, it has its pressures too. He's got to put out a song or something that the public's going to like, but I think he feels pretty lucky that he's able to do something that he really enjoys, and I think it kind of reflects it when he plays, and if you meet him, you probably will talk to him a little while. He is pretty easygoing, pretty happy-go-lucky guy.
Do you even like Cheap Trick?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I'm a big Pearl Jam fan.
Yeah?
But I like to listen to him. I mean, like, I can tell a lot. I like a lot, probably different songs than some of the other people like, but I can tell always when they put a new album out what's going to be good and what's going to be bad, what the public's going to like, because just from being around, like, that kind of younger crowd and listening to what they listen to, I can always tell what's going to be good and what's not going to be good.
Did your dad use you for a sounding board?
No, he doesn't really like to hear my opinion about what I have to say, because my dad doesn't really like to listen to bands. He likes to listen to more songs. He rips a lot of bands apart, and he really is not a big fan of, like, Tiffany or someone else like that.
But does he dig Pearl Jam?
I think he's got no choice but to dig Pearl Jam, because my brother and I play, that's all we listen to.
And is he like, kids these days, this music they're listening to is just crap?
Yeah, pretty much. He like, every band that comes out, they're completely talentless, he tells me, and they're really, if you listen to some of the stuff that comes out, I guess you could say the crap, I think it's pretty bad. I mean, it really is. I mean, if you would ever see them, like, I've seen them rehearse before, and they kind of just mess around in a garage or where they play, they're really so talented compared to so many other people, and it's really a shame sometimes that they don't do better, and I wish people could kind of, you know, just kind of listen to what they're actually doing and individually how good they are at each individual instrument. It's really a joke compared to some of the other people.
What's Bunny Carlos really like?
Bunny's kind of, he's kind of a quiet guy. He's real reserved. He kind of likes to keep to himself, and I think he's set in his own ways. If you get into his, like, routine or whatever he has, he's not a very good guy to be around. But I think they're all the band. I'm real good friends with, I'm not so real close to Bunny, but, I mean, he's from Rockford also. Well, they're all four from Rockford, but he's the only one that still lives there. Tom lives down in, Tom lives out in Las Vegas now, and Robin lives in Florida, and, Tom's family still is in Rockford, so he comes all the time, and he and I go out to the bars and stuff and hang out. It's a lot of fun.
You go to the bars with Tom Peterson? Check it out.
Yeah, I know, and you know, the chicks dig him.
Well, so you score pretty well if you go out drinking with Tom or Robin Zander or somebody, right?
Yeah, I think chicks start digging me more when I'm around them.
Oh, of course. Chicks will dig you more, too, if you're hanging out with Chris and Rob.
That's what I hear. I heard you guys are cool.
Yeah, we are pretty cool. You've heard right. You've heard correct.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's a lot different. I mean, but there's also, like, there's bad parts about it, too. And I mean, you know, people, you got to kind of pick and choose who your friends. You got to kind of, when you first meet people.
Because a lot of them are hoping that you'll give them some demo tapes, right?
Yeah, free tickets or free backstage passes or tickets to this and tickets to that.
Bootleg concert tapes. Have you been asked to join Wilson Phillips yet?
No, but I heard one of them was asked to join Jenny Craig, I think, wasn't one of them?
Do you hang out with Zach Starr and Johnny Cash's kid and some kind of big rock star offspring get-togethers?
I've seen what's his name, Aerosmith's daughter, and I think I want to hang out with her.
Yeah, she's a model now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've met some like REO Speedwagon's kids, and I've hung around them a little bit, and a couple more producers that got some kids. My dad, let me see, who can't remember his name. Maybe Werman, maybe produced one of them. He's got a couple daughters I've met before, and Ted Nugent's kids I've met.
Cool.
But now that I'm older and I'm in school, like in college, when I was younger, I used to have more of a chance to go out on the road with them. But now that I'm so busy between golf and school, that I don't really get a chance too much to go on the road with them.
Are you on the golf team?
Yeah.
What's the best gig you ever saw Cheap Trick play?
They played with AC/DC and outdoor somewhere, and I was younger, and I remember just being in total awe of how many people were there. It seemed like there was people everywhere. I mean, it was ridiculous. But best gig I've ever been to that they played, well, let's see, it'd probably be one of two. And a couple years ago, they played with INXS and Ziggy Marley up in Alpine Valley in Chicago.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good show. But just recently, they played in Rockford, actually, two concerts, one on Saturday night, one Sunday night. A couple of my friends went down. And the Saturday night show we went to, was in an old theater. And if you'd ever see them play, I wish they would do MTV Unplugged, but MTV, I don't know, they're not too popular on MTV right now. And
why not?
You know, I don't know. I think it's kind of what I think the generations, what they want to listen to these days. I mean, it's kind of going more to alternative, and I think basically MTV doesn't even play videos anymore. It's more like MTV Beach Volleyball and
yep.
Whatnot.
Hey, Dylan's going to be on Wednesday night.
Is he?
Yeah. Check it out.
I'll have to.
You like Dylan?
Yeah, I do. He's got so many songs. I don't know how he remembers all the words to them.
He can't.
I don't think
he makes them up. He rewrites them every night.
I try to listen to as many different bands as possible, but I end up listening to more Pearl Jam than anything.
Man, this dude's into Pearl Jam.
I you know what? And the thing is, I've never seen him in concert.
Can't your dad call up Eddie Vedder's and say, hey, this is Ricky Nielsen from the old Cheap Trick. Get my kid in the show.
Well, you know, Jeff Amott, the bass player, is a big fan. I always like reading articles about guys and how my dad's influenced their style and how much they respect him. It's kind of funny to listen to. I mean, I would never think and you know, I don't know. I mean, I see articles about, like, who was some of them. I think Nirvana, a couple other bands said how influential my dad was, and you know, it's kind of amazing when I think about it. But then again, I look at my dad, and he's a guy laying on the couch watching TV, cooking some food, and I just kind of laugh. But
I would laugh too if it was my dad. You should see my dad play guitar.
Well, it's kind of, I think, and the one of the funnest things is too is, like, my dad and I will go out maybe in Rockford or something. There'll be a local band playing, and he'll get up on stage and play with them, and I kind of, like, take a step back and look at, you really see how much he enjoys playing the guitar. I mean, he actually has a lot of fun doing it. And when he gets up on stage and plays with these smaller bands, or my brother's got a band, he'll get up on stage with them and play. And I kind of really look at and understand how much he really enjoys playing the guitar.
Why hasn't Cheap Trick played Oxford?
They did a couple years. Actually, they played probably in, I've got hats from there when he played. They played like in 87 or 88, but if they played now, who knows? They probably sell about 1,000 tickets. Who knows? They're not, it's kind of, it depends how big they get. Like when the Flame was out and stuff, they got big. And then when an album that doesn't do so well, they don't do so well. So it's, you know, it just kind of goes in like seasons almost. When the album comes out and it's doing well, then concerts do well.
Yeah, tell me something, Aaron. What was it like around the house when the Flame came out? Because that was big, and it got them more attention than they had had in quite a while before that.
It was pretty nice. It was my freshman year in high school, I remember, and I think maybe if nothing else, it made the adjustment maybe to high school a little easier. I mean, people, I guess you wouldn't say they didn't hear of Cheap Trick, but when the Flame came out, it was really nice because in MTV, Don't Be Cruel went to number one, I remember, on the video list, and then the Flame came out, and they had it was in the newspaper and stuff, and it was on Billboard, and it was kind of fun. I guess it was almost like how I kind of appreciate a little more of how I would appreciate when I Want You to Want Me came out, but I was too young to really understand what was going on, and I think I got kind of maybe a little taste of what it would have been like if I was a little older when I Want You to Want Me came out.
Well, we're going to call your dad here in a couple of minutes. What should we ask him? What should we tell him for you?
Tell him for me? Well,
we'll tell him that you love him.
Well, okay, thanks.
We'll start off with that.
I tell him that every day. What do I want to even tell?
Is your dad a very affectionate man?
Is he a very... Well, I think my mom tries to get him to be a little more affectionate. He's not a very affectionate as far as, giving a hug or something, but he'll tell me he loves me, and so I know he does, but he's not very... He's just not like that, I don't think.
Did you ever break into the room where he has all his guitars and, like, get in there and pick up a 62 Strat and drop it and break the neck off or anything like that?
He's got, when I was a kid, I used to play with, he's got this guitar from, like, I think he gave the Everly Brothers, gave it to him. It's worth, I don't even know how much, and I was playing with it, I dropped, and he about freaked out. I've seen most of his guitars, and I've seen them, and he kind of buys some and sells them all the time. It just depends, like, you know, which one he wants to play, or which ones are valuable.
What's your favorite one?
I don't know. I like the guitar of him. He calls it Uncle Dick, but I think the 5-neck is probably might be my favorite.
Yeah, that's cool.
I picked it up and put it on before. The thing weighs a ton.
Yeah, he only plays it for like one song a night.
Yeah, well, he's especially, it's going to get down. He's going to start playing like a lap guitar pretty soon. He's getting too old to pick it up.
Kind of like Keith Richards, huh?
Yeah, Keith Richards, at least he looks younger than Keith Richards. Keith Richards looks about 90.
Okay. Well, this is your last chance if you want us to ask your dad something quite embarrassing or something. Because we're going to call him up next.
Embarrassing. I guarantee, though, when you call him, he's on the couch. Probably, you'll probably catch him. He'll be watching some nature show, or he'll be watching The Frugal Gourmet.
At 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, that's all he watches, the nature shows and The Frugal Gourmet.
Now, when we call him, are we going to wake him up, or is he going to be up watching Conan O'Brien or something?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I hope you catch him in a good mood.
I hope so, too.
Can you do me a favor? My roommate Matt really likes The Flame, so can you play it?
The Flame?
Yeah.
Sure. It's next up.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Right, thanks, Aaron. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
1-800.
Yeah, you bet. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. It is 20 minutes after 2 o'clock. 18 minutes to be exact, but I like to round up. The phone number here is 749-1444. We're going to talk to Rick Nielsen of the band Cheap Trick here any second now. Let me let you know that next week we're going to be talking to Santa Claus. Santa Claus is going to be here live in the studio. There's that number right there, buddy. Santa Claus will be here live in the studio taking your calls at 749-1444. So you might want to tune in then. Also, make sure you catch Jesus Man and Devil Guy, performed by the John Body Players and the Inducers.
Which one? That one right there.
What's his first one?
What's
815.
Okay.
Dig. All right. Jesus Man and Devil Guy by the John Body Players and the Inducers. It'll be at the Dance Hall in Clifton at the corner of Short and Vine and East Daniels this Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday at 8 o'clock at night. Tickets are cheap. So check it out. That's the John Body Players with Jesus Man and Devil Guy this weekend. I know Rob's going to go. He really likes those
twice.
Guys. He's going to probably go twice.
Probably.
Yeah, we're going to play The Flame in a little while, aren't we?
Yeah, sure are.
You know, if you've ever seen Cheap Trick live, before they play The Flame, Robin Zander or Rick Nielsen will always say, "We want to thank you for being our audience, and we want to thank you for this.
Then what? Well, then what do they do?
Well, then they usually play the flame.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty nice of them.
Ain't it, though?
That's really, really good to thank your audience for being. We'll ask him what nature show he's watching. We'll ask him, what's the Frugal Gourmet?
Yo.
Hello, is this Rick Nielsen of the band Cheap Trick?
You got the wrong number.
Do we really?
Yep, I gave you the other number earlier.
Oh, you want us to call the other number?
Yeah.
Okay, should we call you back?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't want to talk right here?
Oh, are we on the air?
Yeah, we sure are.
Holy cow, why not?
Holy cow. Were you sleeping on the couch? Aaron said you were probably sitting on the couch watching the Frugal Gourmet.
No, I was actually sitting on the couch watching something else.
Nature show?
No, let's see, what was I watching? I can't remember.
Well,
Sports Center or something like that.
Well, it's good to talk to you. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and you do have a lot of Cheap Trick fans in Cincinnati. Were you aware of that?
Some of the Browns, yeah. Oh, that's Cleveland.
The Cincinnati Bengals, sir.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Browns suck,
Shula.
Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, Shula.
I heard they gave him a couple more years.
Not yet.
We'll see about that.
Well, I meant in prison, not in his...
Are you a big Bears fan?
I used to be.
Why? What happened? Ditka?
Well, no. When they got rid of the funky QB, it sort of ticked me off.
Man?
Yeah. I mean, it's like... I hate it when the teams are disloyal to the guys that help them do good stuff. I mean, I liked it when Ernie Banks stayed with the Cubs throughout his whole career, and you know, instead of getting traded off. I mean, you can't remember how many, you know, all these guys today, they can jump to so many teams.
So
who cares what I think anyhow?
I understand that Aaron, one time, a long time ago, picked up one of your 62 Strats, one Everly Brothers gave it to you. He dropped it or something, and your reaction was?
Well, you notice he doesn't live with me anymore.
Yeah. Shipped him away to military school in Oxford, right?
Yes, right.
Have you guys ever thought about coming up and, like, playing the graduation ceremony when he graduates?
No. I've gone there and I've actually played at his frat house.
Really?
Yeah, that was nice.
I bet.
Usually I just, you know, step in some beer. This thing, you had to wade through it. It was about 3 inches deep. but they drank it anyhow. It was amazing.
Drank it off the floor?
Oh, yeah. But they did it. It wasn't, like, so bad. I mean, they weren't, like animals or anything. They didn't just, like, drink it off the floor. They used straws.
Okay.
So do you let Aaron go out on the town with Robin and Tom? Because he tells me that when he does, generally they introduce him to a lot of their friends.
Aaron doesn't have any trouble meeting friends, but one time or Robin around or myself, we meet a lot of potential people for our videos.
Yeah. You know, there was a Cheap Trick cover band just played in town over here. Cincinnati's first Cheap Trick cover band. They're called Big Eyes.
Yeah.
Just so you know, they had a good show. They almost did justice to most of your songs.
Well, we almost do, too, once in a while.
Yeah. So you guys playing much these days? If you're sitting at home on the couch, you're probably not rehearsing much.
Well, let's see. Actually, we were out with making the last album and touring. We were out for almost 2 years.
That was for the Monster album?
Yeah.
Woke Up Next to a Monster?
Yeah, I did that.
What'd you think of the, when that record came out, it didn't have the same response that the Flame did. How come you think that was?
People have no taste.
Probably.
What do you think about R.E.M. calling their album
one,
Monster?
Either on the Flame or on this one. No, I don't know. This was our 15th album or something like that. So
you guys are prolific, almost like the Stones.
We're sick?
Yeah, either way, I heard that MTV wanted to do an unplugged show with you guys, but you declined, and then they wanted to do an unplugged show with the Rolling Stones, but they declined because they were afraid if they unplugged Keith Richards, he'd die. he liked that one. In Cincinnati, that joke is so old, you'd say, last time I heard that, I fell off my dinosaur.
Really?
Yeah, but you thought that was funny, so thank you very much.
I did. So tell me about this, the Cheap Trick cover band.
Yeah, well, they got up there, they dressed like you, right? The guitar player was wearing this little red sweater and this hat backwards, and he took some gaffer tape, cut it into a bunch of little squares. I'm not going to tell you what he did with that, but his guitar was a big checkerboard. And
yeah.
The drummer was smoking a cigarette and wore a little vest, and the guy was singing the lead, and he let his long blonde hair down. He really did have long blonde hair. And had a purple, like a big old purple baggy shirt on. And the guy that was playing bass had the big old T-Rex top hat on.
Cool.
Yeah, what do you think of... T-Rex did it first. What do you think of Tom ripping that thing off? And then what do you think of Guns N' Roses ripping it off of Tom, ripping it off of T-Rex?
They all ripped it off of Abraham Lincoln, so who cares?
Right. So what I'm getting at is, when's the next album coming out? What's going to be the next big hit? When are you going to tour? And when are you going to play Cincinnati?
Jesus, are you my banker?
Just about.
Let's see. I don't know. Sure. Okay. And I think so.
Are you guys working on new material?
Oh yeah.
What'd you
think?
Writing
some right now. It's called Man. Who cut the cheese?
That's Spinal Tap's next record.
Really?
No, yeah.
I thought that was Break Like the Wind.
What'd you think of that last of Robin Zander's solo album?
I thought it was interesting. You know, there's a lot of good stuff on there.
Do you think he's any good without that powerhouse band?
No.
Without
no,
that?
I don't know. Yeah.
That tight rhythm section behind him, that steady Bunny Carlos beat?
Oh, man. When you got Bunny behind you, you better get out of the way.
Yeah, what's Bunny really like?
Oh, let's see. Why do people hate Bunny before they meet him?
I don't know. That's what we're asking you.
To save time. All right. Come on.
You guys must have got
you have
along.
A real show, or you just giggle a lot?
We just giggle a lot. It's right. Cool. See, we're a real laid-back kind of thing. This ain't like we're pontificating on any kind of...
Well, man, we get your show here in bum... the Midwest.
Yeah, you love it too, don't you?
This show is fantastic.
Why did Tom quit the band, and why did he rejoin again?
He left for medical reasons. He made us sick.
Yeah. How did you manage to find all those other bases that look just like Tom?
We just went to Cincinnati and looked up all Big Eyes and all these other, you know, Cheap Trick.
You're going to have to come out here next time Big Eyes plays.
Oh, hey, at least I called the guys.
Yeah, that's right. They said you called at the record store and...
Yeah, I told my son to go see him.
He didn't. He was drunk.
Oh.
He stayed home. He couldn't drive.
He told me he was studying.
Yeah.
And there was 12 inches of snow.
You should be proud of him that he didn't drive down there drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says you're just a regular everyday dad. You're not like a big time rock star. It's not like having Elvis for a dad, but you're
hey,
just like a regular guy.
I'm gonna cut off that guy's his allowance. yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just a typical bum. I don't know. I'd let him talk about that stuff. I don't know what I'm like. It's like, what do you think about Cheap Trick? I don't know. I've never seen us.
Whoa.
I've always just been in the band.
You saw that video that MTV shot in Florida, didn't you?
The one at Spring Break?
How come you guys always put the keyboard player backstage?
Because he's too good looking, too talented. He makes us, now, I don't know. It's there's four guys in Cheap Trick, and our keyboard player used to be in the studios. It was always us, but our keyboard players used to be my guitar roadie. So... We figured if we didn't put him on stage, where should we put these other guys on?
Screw them.
That's right. Well, not literally.
If you had to pick a name for a Cheap Trick cover band, would you pick Big Eyes?
I'd pick Big Noses, Big Butts. No, I don't know what I would see. If I had to name a Cheap Trick cover
band. Yeah, I mean, is Big Eyes a good representation of the Cheap Trick discography?
Yeah, I think so. There was another band that the first... Cheap Trick cover that I ever knew of. There was a guy named, there was a French guy that did some cover versions, but there was a band called Big Black, which had Steve Albini.
Yeah, he was from Chicago.
And they did like that He's a Whore cover thing.
Yeah, that was cool. And actually, there's a few others, a few other bands that are doing some of our stuff. Concrete Blonde, just not long ago, but they did a song Mandicello and Anthrax. Did Auf Wiedersehen, and there's a band called Cell that also did Auf Wiedersehen.
Hey, what's that song Auf Wiedersehen really about, and who wrote the words?
I did. I think it's see you later in about five different languages.
Well, and the guy's going.
Or a Vita Zan, okay.
It's kind of like a teen angst anthem, you know, because at the end there he's talking about suicide. What's down with that?
Well, I just it was probably trying to find there was some people that have negative ideas. I think they try to. I said that your only hope was, and that it wasn't like a do this because of. It's like. The way that you act and the things that you do seems like the only thing left for you is suicide, you know. But I didn't tell him to go to it. It was like there was just an alternative. I wrote that a long time ago.
How do you think your audience has changed over the years?
Now I just say instead of hurting yourself physically or mentally, just start a Cheap Trick cover band. That'll be enough to make you ill.
Somebody's got to put out a tribute album sooner or later.
There was one in Texas called Heaven on a Stick, where it was about 12 different bands.
It was Dinosaur Jr. on it?
Not that I know of.
They usually get on most of those cover albums.
Well, there's some people that want to do some of our stuff, so...
You'd love that too, wouldn't you?
I would. Smashing Pumpkins. I talked to Billy about a month ago, and I saw him at a Brian Ferry show, and I'm still waiting for the picture. We were backstage. It was Brian Ferry, myself, and Billy Corgan.
Whoa.
And that's a kind of a sick-looking band, huh?
Yeah, tell me about it. What were you guys all doing hanging out together?
We got off... we all got off the buses at the wrong stop, I guess. I'm a fan of Brian Ferry. Actually, Brian Ferry did one of our songs a long time ago. He did a song called Take Me, I'm Yours. He did a demo of it, and I just was there... hoping he would just do it.
He's covered just about everybody.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
No, but that is true about Brian Ferry.
You think Brian Ferry's career is a joke?
Well, not according to the people that were there. No, he's good. He's got a real good band.
So you like Brian Ferry's career?
Yeah.
What about that last album of all covers?
Yeah.
So, when you guys first came out as Cheap Trick, you know, back in the late 70s, you were kind of a nebulous band. It was just right on the breaking edge of punk. People weren't sure if you were a heavy band or a new wave band. How has your audience changed over the years? Where do you think people stand now on you guys?
They still don't know anything about us.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Why haven't you got as much radio support as some of these other bands that are more crappy than you guys?
Well, because we don't pay them enough. You know, you got to pay a lot of money to get a lot of airplay, except with your show.
So payola still does exist, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do you think that by having a sense of humor, it's maybe hindered your career a little bit? It seems like now everybody likes these Life is So Serious kind of bands.
Probably.
I don't think humor ever hurt anybody.
Well, it never helped you guys.
No, not at all.
Do you get a big, warm, fuzzy feeling when you read, like, the guy for Alice in Chains says he really likes Cheap Trick, and you know that the young rockers dig you guys?
Well, you know, I read a lot of stuff about different bands that say different stuff, good stuff about us, but it never seems to, you know, they buy their records and they don't listen to ours. I don't know. I, it's hard for me to tell. I mean, every place I go, like any places where there's bands and stuff, you say, oh, man, you were one of my favorite bands when I was growing up. What are you guys doing now? It's like, well, gee, that means the radio and the record company are doing a great job. They don't know what we're doing.
Did you feel abandoned by the record companies, like, somewhere after the One-on-One album?
Yeah, in some ways. But it's like, the thing is, it's like with MTV. It's like, unless it's new, it's no good, is their theory, which sometimes, you know, if my theory is, so lots of times, if it is new, it's no good. But I mean, there's always been good bands, but I don't think every song we've ever done is great, and I think we have a lot of terrible songs.
Like what?
With some cover versions that the record company made us do, Kiss Me Red, Dancing the Night Away, there's a few terrible ones.
What about them Beatles covers you guys are famous for?
I think we did those good. You know, we did them in a good pop way.
What do you think of Who Da King?
I think it's a great song by we used to use a drum choir for that thing. That was kind of cool.
You do that live much?
We did it for a while when that album was out. That was about 14 years ago.
Did Bunny ever secretly want to do it live for about 45 minutes, but you guys wouldn't let him?
No, he wants to do it live, but his wife won't let him.
Ah.
And for 45 minutes, it's 4.5 seconds. Oh, you're talking about the song.
Yeah, the Who Da King song.
Oh, well, you know.
That's a great song.
We did it for a while. Maybe if you there's a petition from all the people listening to your show, it might happen. How many people do listen to your show?
Millions.
Millions.
Couple
really?
Million. Maybe a couple of 3 million. All over the world.
Yeah, I know. They beam it in by satellite almost everywhere now.
How many drum tracks are on Hootie King?
All of them.
All 64?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
That's a lot of beats.
Yeah, we overdubbed it quite a bit.
If you was to pull out a Cheap Trick album tonight and listen to it, which one would it be?
Budokan 2.
Really? When you listen to your stuff, do you just pick out the
Budokan
bad stuff?
2, have you guys heard that one?
It's like a bootleg, isn't it?
No.
It finally came out officially. It was a bootleg for a while or an import, and we didn't pick up a copy yet, but I've gotten high recommendations on it.
Yeah, I got the two places that reviewed it loved it, and record company was our last record.
Hey, don't get too down on the media, because I heard you just got a big spread in Guitar Magazine.
Really?
Yeah, you're the centerfold.
No, I mean, but our record company just didn't. They didn't even put one ad out for it. I mean, it just sort of came out. And
well, why is that? I mean, you guys are Cheap Trick.
Ah, well, there you go.
It's not like you guys are, you know, the Cranberries or anything.
Well, they do some good stuff.
Yeah, but they're called the Cranberries.
Oh.
You know?
Well, I don't know. I didn't want to call or I didn't want to talk and just whine, but you asking me whine questions, so I'm whining.
Well, what do you think is
that? Hey, see, there's my
Hey, why does Epic suck so bad?
Well, there's my angst right there.
What's your favorite song? What rocks the most?
Blue. Oh, I thought you asked my favorite color.
Mm.
What song? I don't know. I think you guys have to make up your answer for that.
You're exactly right. I like that song Tom sings on that one album, All Shook Up.
I Know What I Want.
Oh, you bet. That rocks. And when you guys do that live, it's tough.
Yeah, I wrote that for him. Tom's got a 3-note range, and so I used all 3 notes in the song.
That's why he only sings one song live, right?
Uh-huh. But he sings those 3 notes real good.
You think Robin's a pretty good singer?
I think he's a great singer.
You think he's up there with, like, Daltrey and all them greats from the old days?
Yeah, I think he's one of the greatest rock singers around. I mean, yeah, he is. I mean, he can sing like anything. He's got real good training.
He's a babe magnet, too.
He's a babe magnet for sure. He's probably listening right now.
Where does he live at?
He lives in Florida.
Yeah, that's what Aaron said. By the way, Aaron said he loves you.
Yeah?
Eh?
Yeah?
He said you could stand to be a little more affectionate, too. Not faggy or nothing, you know, but
really?
Just a little more, you know, endearing.
Yeah, well, I
think it's just his way of asking for more money.
Yeah, I know that. You know, I told him to go see you guys. Because I knew you guys would be at that show.
You're giving him some great advice.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I was down at the show, and this buddy of mine says, hey, I hear that, you know, Rick Nielsen's kid from Oxford's going to be here. I'm like, really? Well, you know, who is he? And he points to this big, large, huge, fat guy with this beard down to his belly.
That's him.
And I said, what? That guy? It turned out not to be that guy, because like I said, Aaron never made it.
Oh. Well, he's a big, tall, handsome golfer that studies and gets straight A's.
Now, he's got a brother that's in Wilson Phillips?
Yes.
What's that all about? He plays in a band, huh?
Yes.
What's the band?
Nelson.
No, really, is his band got a name?
Oh, his brother. Yeah, he's got a brother that's in a band. His name is Miles. And they're called Stinky Finger.
Oh, yeah? Record coming out soon?
Yeah, now they're called the Rodeo Clowns, or, let's see, they have a new name every week. They're playing, he goes to Illinois State.
You know, he could call his band Grim Reaper.
Yeah. Well,
what do you think of that?
Grim Reapers, we were called.
So, assuming he ever gets his band together and you start digging them, are you going to try to pull some record company strings and get him a deal?
Yeah, all the strings I've pulled.
Yeah.
I think he'd, if I was doing him a favor. No, I'm thinking about trying to help him get some of his songs published.
How heavy is that five neck?
Very heavy.
How heavy?
Jeez, I don't know.
We want to know down to the ounces.
85 pounds, 3 ounces.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your favorite guitar?
Not that one.
Yeah?
That one's too heavy. I don't know. I've got a few. I've got a couple old Gibson Explorers and that I enjoy to play. I mean, that's the shape is good for me. I like my checkerboard guitar, checkerboard Explorer. I got some old Les Pauls I like. I got a guitar that I gave to John Lennon when I worked with him. And
you met him, huh? Oh, I heard something
like... I worked
like
with him on Double Phantom.
You and Tom were in his band or something?
No, Bunny and I.
You and Bunny? How'd you pull that off, getting in John Lennon's band? That's a big deal.
Well, Jack Douglas, who was produced our first album, was doing the Double Fantasy record, and John needed a band, so we got hired.
Are you guys credited on the record?
No, we're not. We're credited, and if read the Albert Goldman record, or Albert Goldman book about Lennon, we're in there.
You think that was an authentic book?
Our part was. I was the only. There was about four John Lennon books that have come out, and all four of them had some accuracy, but only the Albert Goldman, which I heard he was the biggest jerk of all of them. He was the only one that really had the stories about us right in it.
Did you ever go over to John Lennon's place?
No, I did not.
Well, if you did, Yoko would have made you take your shoes off.
Really?
They had this white rug. They had a white rug, and Yoko wouldn't let you walk on it in your shoes.
Oh, I thought you took your shoes off so your feet smelled as bad as hers did.
Mm.
So, I want to know about the song, The House is Rocking with Domestic Problems. Well, is that a true story from your childhood?
No, that was a true story about Tom's marriage. He was married to a very strange German woman. We called her Dagmar Hitler. And it was written about that.
Are you Swedish?
Just my sausage.
Oh, is Tom Swedish?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Tom Swedish.
Well, we sure appreciate you talking to us, Rick.
Yeah.
And staying up late.
Yeah, and I thought your show was on at 2 in the afternoon. I thought, well this will be fine.
No, man, 2 in the morning when it's cool.
Yeah, well, I'm in my studio right now. That's how come I told you not to call this number.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's wrong with the studio phone?
It means I got to sit in there.
You'd rather stay on your couch?
Yeah. My couch is more comfortable than the studio.
Well, we apologize for that.
You do?
Yeah.
Well,
how much you charge by the hour to use your studio?
What do I charge?
Yeah, I'm always looking for a place to record.
Really? Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Some of the guys that have been in my studio, Sam Kinison before he died.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, Motley Crue.
Whoa!
A bunch of different people.
You spend more time recording in the studio than you do playing with the band these days?
No. I mean, we're going out the day after Christmas. We'll be in near San Diego, and then three other shows nearby there.
Is that a big yawn? What do you do? You yawning right in the middle of talking to Chris and Rob?
It's hard to believe, but at least none of your other listeners ever do.
No, no way.
Then we're playing House of Blues, and then New Year's Eve we're in Detroit. And then we go, we got good routing, and then after that, then we go right back, and we're five days in Las Vegas. We're doing a TV show there.
When are you guys playing Ohio again?
I don't know.
We're waiting for you.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, drink lots of coffee, because it'll be a while. I don't know. We'll be there next year, and
You played like a beach water park a year ago or so.
Yeah, boy. I sort of remember it.
And before that, you played a club called Bogart's.
Oh, yeah. Bogart's. We played Bogart's, one of the first shows we ever did, like in 1977, we played there.
How's it changed?
The beer smell is fermented on the floor now.
Yeah?
It was just wet before.
Cool.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati. It's a cool place.
Do you really?
I really do,
You're not just saying that?
Nope. I got lost on your freeway trying to find the airport once.
That happens all the time up here to me.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks for talking to us, and we'll probably ask you to do it again sometime. I bet you'll be looking forward to it.
I can't wait.
You know, if you'd like to get some airplay for Budokan 2, you could ship us a promotional copy.
I'll talk to the record company.
Well, who should we call? We'll make the call.
Just call Epic Records and just tell them.
What's your phone number? 1-800-EPIC?
1-800-EPIC.
Okay, we got that number.
call him up and just, there's a guy there at Epic called, his guy's name is Dan Beck.
Dan Beck.
Dan Beck, Jeff Beck's brother.
Is he really?
No, but he's got the same last name.
Have you ever met Jeff Beck?
Oh, yeah, I've worked with Jeff Beck before.
You think he's a good guitar player?
Oh, he's pretty good.
So nice. Which guitar players do you dig the most? I mean, who
Jeff
really
Beck,
gets you off the
Beck
most?
Jeff Beck is my favorite guitar player.
Who? For real?
Yeah.
Who is? Why do you like Beck so much?
Because he's so damn good.
He sure is, but you know, a lot of that stuff he did, either Jimmy Page was stealing from him, or he was stealing from Jimmy Page. Which is it?
Jeff Beck never stole anything from Jimmy Page.
You think Jimmy Page just copped a lot of Beck licks in those early Zeppelin?
No, you know, Jimmy Page is great too, but not as great. Beck's the king.
Which period of Jeff Beck do you like? Do you like that jazz fusion stuff or the early rock?
Well, I just like his playing. I think he's good all the time.
Okay. Cool. Who's Robin Zander's favorite singer?
I don't know.
Hey, did you ever do one of those, like, rock and roll call-in shows where they like it? It's bands like the Scorpions a lot, people calling from all over. But instead of asking questions, all they ever do is say, oh, I loved your last album. You guys are so cool.
Ask you when you're coming to town a lot.
That's Rockline.
Rockline. Have you ever done Rockline?
Oh, probably 3 or 4 or 5 times.
We're more fun, aren't we?
Your guys have better questions, and I can never say, oh, groovy, and wonder about, I don't know.
Well, if Robin Zander says, oh, groovy, some girl out in Poughkeepsie, New York comes.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Check it out. All right, well, we'll say thanks for the last, we're going to play The Flame next. So instead of me introducing it and saying we're going to play The Flame, will you introduce it like you do live when you say thank you to everybody? And then we'll play it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, people of the jury, I don't think he's guilty. This next song is by Cheap Trick, and it was the only song that ever went to number one, except the song If You Want My Love, You Got It, went to number one in Australia. Here's the song called The Flame, and see you guys later, and party like mad dogs in heat, like I know you will.
We will.
Go Bengals. See ya.
Touching heat, freezing on my skin. I pretend.